This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round. Today, a very special guest. Got my boy from the Carolinas. He's looking swole. He's been hitting the gym. He's got some good vibes right now. We got my man, Little Man Jay.
What up, baby? How
brother,
you doing?
How you doing, dog?
Cooling, man. Cooling. Finally out back in Nashville. It's been about a month.
Yeah.
And we got here Sunday, currently Tuesday, as you can see right now. Just enjoying life, man.
What's the workout routine? Because you're looking bigger than last time I saw you, dog. You're looking good.
I appreciate it, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Out here in that wife beater.
You know
it's
what I'm
funny.
Saying?
Being from New York, I didn't know that as a wife beater. We would call it the guinea tee because that's what all the Italians wear. So you're looking like guinea tee, like Pauly Walnuts from The Sopranos out here, ready to go.
Boss. Hell yeah, nah. We do different things. We do 6 weeks on of push-pull leg and heavyweight, and then we do 6 weeks of single muscle, just reps to try to get the definition. So we do the growth and the definition, the growth and the definition.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, really pushing myself. I have my boy Bodie helping me out now with workout, so it gives me that extra little pump. Because I don't like doing, like, pre-workout and stuff.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm in there, he's like, come on, you motherfucker. And so it's like, okay, man, okay. So I just, you know, do the extra reps and really push myself. And I'm really seeing big progress. Because I've been working out for, like, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first, like, few months, like, I'm really starting to see the definition.
That's
I'm getting
good.
Bigger.
Yeah.
But then it kind of plateaued for, like, 2 years just because I wasn't really pushing myself. And then now that I'm doing it with him, like, I'm just noticing huge differences. I'm starting to take creatine now.
Nice.
All that.
Dude, it's all about the body's a temple, man. And the temple's as good or gets as big as you build it, man. That's awesome, man. We're on some good vibes right now.
You on some lyrics,
I'm hyping you.
Write that shit down, buddy. You're not on the body is a temple, man. It's what you make it.
Yeah, so how was this? You guys were saying how you've been coming out here for a while now from out in the Charlotte area. Mm-hmm. And you said each trip just seems like it's getting shorter and shorter traveling out here wise.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been coming out here to Nashville, and kind of tell us that story of getting from Carolina to coming out here for business trips?
I've been coming out to Nashville since last year, actually. About this time last year, my first trip was either end of March or end of April. I'm pretty sure it was the end of April. It was like the first time I really came out here for strictly business. I was out here in October of 2023, business, but also spending time with family. But last year was the first time I came out here for just strictly sessions, writing, interviews, all that kind of stuff. And I've been coming out here trying to do every month, especially in the past few months. I've been coming out here at least once a month for a few days or up to a week. And yeah, bro, like the drives just keep feeling like they're shorter and shorter. It feels like a plane ride for real. Like it's a 6-hour drive from Charlotte. But literally once you're in the mode, listening to music, talking, it's just like it flies by.
Oh yeah, you and Brody were saying like you're like you have your routine. You have the gas stations you stop
exactly,
at. What are you getting, and what's the big man getting at the gas station?
Bro, every time I go to the gas station, I always gotta piss.
That's my go-to. Yeah.
I get the bathroom. That's the first thing.
Because you're drinking all that water. You're staying hydrated.
Exactly,
out here.
Yeah. Bro. I don't know what's going on, but I have a fucking bladder of a baby or some shit, boy. I drink a half.
Little man, little bladder.
Oh, God. I drink a half a bottle of water, and boy, I'm on the fucking peeing for a minute straight. I don't know what's going on. And it's pure clear and everything.
Yeah.
Bro, you would think it's water coming out of my dick. So I don't know what's going on. But so straight to the bathroom. And then depending on how I'm feeling, I either get, if it's like a QT, you know, they have the taquitos and the pizza.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah, those like tornadoes, the little rolls.
Yeah, I get some of that. Or most of the time I maybe get a little soda, some water, and just keep on going with the trek. And then recently the problem was whenever we first started doing these trips, I had to take a bathroom break like every 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
Dead ass.
That's brutal.
Dead ass, bro. We would have to stop on the side of the road every 30 minutes to an hour. I don't know what was going on. I think it was a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But now, bro, we just drive straight 6 hours, stop once or twice, and we just get here, boy. That boy Bodie on the gas with the left foot, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah. Yeah, Bodie. Is it Bodie or Brody?
It's Bodie.
Bodie. I'm sorry for calling your wrong name, brother. I said Brody earlier. Bodie. Brody. Everybody says Brody, Bodie. He's your handler. He's your right hand.
Definitely my dog holds a bunch of hats and really helps with what I got going on. And most importantly, what I really care about is just the energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all I care about at the end of the day because, you know, if you have these negative, non-optimistic people around you, bro, it's just, you know, you are who you hang around. You know what I mean? So being around good energy, constantly uplifting, motivational, you're only going to be like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I feel like for especially someone in your position, you've been seeing success and you've been seeing it since you were a teenager, but you've had to deal with a lot of adversity in your life from like the scoliosis, the club foot, the other, like the cards that you were dealt.
Yeah.
So for you, it's like positivity's got to be huge. It's so easy to get down on some negative shit that when you can bring that positivity, man, it makes life so much better. Talk a little bit about just growing up and some of the adversity and challenges to get to where you're at, man, because a lot of it's got to be positivity. It's got to be the man upstairs.
100%, man. It's a mix of everything. Growing up, you know, it started in elementary school. I remember, I guess because of my cleft palate, bro, I just had like an unstoppable runny nose. So every time I'm just like walking and then it's just like snot is coming out of my nose. And like, I don't even have tissues. So people are like, ooh, like laughing at me and shit and all that. And that's kind of where some of it started. You know, elementary was okay. You know, people aren't too much of bullies like they are in middle school or high school. And then I got to middle school and, you know, I kind of started surrounding myself with the cool people to try to make myself feel better. But the problem was I was only friends with a few of them individually. But whenever we're all together, like, I feel like an odd man out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just left kind of in that position where it's like I'm trying to surround myself with people that will make me cool instead of the people I should surround myself with because I was just trying to, I was trying to almost like overcompensate how I was feeling. So, you know, with the adversity and stuff, it just came with the, you know, laughing at me. You know, whether it's the way I walk, I can't bend my fingers, asking me questions. Like, somebody, I remember fucking middle school asked me how I jerked off because I can't bend my fingers.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so that was like one little thing. And then high school, of course, whenever everybody starts getting a little bit more mature and hormones, all that kind of stuff is whenever I started, you know, trying to talk to the girls and all that, and you know, they would laugh at me, I'd get rejected, and I feel like that's where I had to throw away the deck of cards I was dealt and grab a new hand. You know what I mean? And that's where I started turning it for the better of myself. Okay, these people aren't fucking with me, and it's making me feel some type of way. Let me just focus on myself. And that's what I did, bro. I chose to eat lunch like alone, bro. I would sit at the table by myself watching videos on how to, like, invest. I was watching videos on how to grow as an artist, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I started focusing on me and stopped focusing on trying to create a version of me that wasn't me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And trying to be the cool guy or whatever and trying to fit in. So I started focusing on me, and that's whenever I started getting the motivation to just do something so that I can get up while they're still worried about this little shit, this little high school drama and all that.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. Whenever I was 13, that's when I started working on the music. I was buying and reselling Pokemon cards. I started
just
my little
hustling, dog.
You know
just
what I'm
hustling.
Saying? That's why I started my hustle because I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on me and make it for the better of myself. And these people can do what they do. But watch, whenever I'm 17, 18, they're going to be still in high school worried about this little stuff, and I'm going to already be setting myself up for success.
Yeah.
Where I want to be. You know what I mean? Because that's what really matters to me at the end of the day. Like, all this stuff is cool, you know, all this little, all the, you know, cheers to that one.
Amen, Bodie, yeah. Cheers, buddy. I'll cheers you with my Celsius right here.
Let's go.
Because you're dealing with all that shit, and then you start creating music at 13. At 13 years old, I can't imagine creating music, and you're doing it using earbuds and GarageBand, and you're just hungry to where you're like, I'm gonna figure this shit out, and 100%. I'm gonna do it. Talk about those early days of getting the itch, scratching that itch to be like, I want to create something. I got something to say.
Yeah, so it all started, like I said, like you said, whenever I was 13, I was listening to a lot of music at the time, and so I was inspired one day on a trip to go to the beach. The lake with my family.
Yeah.
And they all went inside to go get some food for the trip because we were almost at the house. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay back. I'm super inspired. I was listening to music the whole drive. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to look up a beat and just see what comes from it.
Yeah.
And so I looked up a beat whenever they all went inside, and I just started, like, having my earbuds in, and I was just, like, listening, and I just started, like, mumbling, kind of freestyling a little bit, came up with some cool melodies. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, that just came naturally. So I'm like, that kind of means something. So what I did was write the rest of the song throughout that little hour or whatever, and that's actually how I created my first song that's released, called It's Just the Beginning. And so I wrote it, whatever, got home, trying to figure out how to record. Obviously, I didn't have a mic. I didn't know nothing about studios, nothing. So Brian just got on GarageBand, put the beat on there, put my Apple earbuds in with the little mic on it,
yeah,
and just sang through, bro. But the problem was, at that time, I don't know what it was, but, like, you know how people, like, punch in or they do, like, one bar at a time?
Yeah.
Bro, so I was, like, trying to do that, but it didn't sound cohesive with each of the bars.
Oh.
So I was like, damn, like, I'm just going to have to sing the whole song all the way through. So I sung a 3-minute song all the way through, bro. It took me like 300 tries. It took me like 5 days finally, whatever. Got my first song, figured out how to release it, just released it through something like DistroKid, posted on my story, you know, whatever, 300 streams. And like, it's like, okay, I like it though. I'm going to keep making music. Kept making music. As I kept doing that, I figured out more and more on how to make the music as far as, like, my parents ended up buying me a little studio, say $200 worth of equipment for Christmas to work on music. I finally figured out what mixing and mastering was, so yeah. I had a guy from my school do that. And so I started learning some ins and outs of how to make the music, but I was still stuck on, like, how to market it.
Yeah.
So I just kept releasing music, posting on my Instagram and Snapchat story. That was it. I'm like, okay, once the right person hears this, it's gone. I'm up. And it never happened, so in like 2021, I got demotivated. I stopped making music. But I always kept it in like my back pocket. Like, I stopped making the music and dropping it. Or I stopped dropping the music.
Yeah.
But it was like something I still was holding on to. Because I do like this. Like, yeah, it's fun. Like, I think I could do something
with it. It fills your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just not there.
Yeah.
So I'm missing something. So like I said, I was demotivated. Blase, blase. It turned out 2021, going into 2022, New Year's, I was like watching a little music video on my a TV. And I was like, I'm trying to be like that. Like, it just inspired me. It had that feeling. It gave me that motivation.
Do you remember what music video it was?
Yeah, it was actually called Fortnite by Polo G.
Oh.
And he just bought his new house or whatever, and he had like $1 million sitting in his living room and just cash. I'm like, damn, boy. Like, that's what it's about. Okay. So that's what gave me that motivation, you know, seeing that. And already the idea that I genuinely love making the music and stuff. So it's like, bro, I need to get back into this. So going into 2022, I took a different look on it. Because at this point, I was a little bit more mature. I think I was 16 at this point. And I kind of understood more about it. Like, I need to research first. So I spent my first few months of 2022 researching. Made my first TikTok back around April, March. First video I posted wasn't even about my music. It was about some post about how to save money on gas. Ended up getting a few, like, tens of thousands of views. I was like, oh, shit. It's already doing something.
Yeah.
So I just started posting those story times each day. They were getting, you know, 10,000, 20,000 views, whatever. And then I was like, okay, this is dope, but I'm not trying to be an influencer. I'm trying to, like, promote my music.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I incorporate my music? So I started looking up, like, how people promote music on TikTok. Blase, blase. Ended up putting my phone up, playing a beat in the background, rapping to the mic. That's actually how I made my first video of my music. Got, like, 600,000 views.
Yeah.
And blew up. And I was like, shit, this is it. Because everybody, like, you know, there was some hate, but everybody's like, bro, this is fire. Like, who is this kid? Like, what the hell? Ain't no way. So that's whenever I was like, okay, like, this is it. So I started posting every day. I started making music on live with my fans. 2 months later, made my song Cat Freestyle, dropped it.
Changed everything.
Up. Changed the trajectory of everything. And in between, and this is why I'm where I'm at now. Literally, I think the second video I posted of me showing my music and my talent was actually a cover of Something in the Orange by Zach Bryan. So you know how I told you that first 600,000 view video, whatever, me make, the second video was me covering Something in the Orange by Zach Bryan. And the next day I made my first country song. And, you know, because people loved it. People loved my voice. They're like, bro, I love the rasp. That's crazy. Your voice is great. And I didn't think much of it because I was so focused on me doing what I was already doing.
Yeah, you were focused on just rhyming and dropping bars.
Because that's where I was at.
Yeah.
So then I kept making music like that. It was doing good. And then in 2023 or 4, I moved to Charlotte. And so I was working with this new producer. Shout out my boy Chosen. I was working with this new producer. And like he could do anything. So I'm like, I was trying to experiment. So we made like an R&B song. And I'm like, bro, we should do country. Like, let's try country.
So R&B and country aren't as far off as people think.
Really?
It's storytelling. It's melodic. Like you're telling, no matter what with music, a part of the essence of a good song is you're telling a story or you're bringing a vibe. And that's universal. I don't care if it's fucking reggaeton or heavy metal. Like you're telling a story in everything that you do. So songwriting, it's just different ways of delivery.
I love it. I get stuck sometimes trying to write music, but my favorite part is whenever they all come together and make something crazy and you're storytelling. Like me and Bodie was just listening in the car to one of my old rap songs I made that was a storytelling about how these people doubted me and look at me now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's called At Me Now because it means like look at me now. And so anyways, I told Chosen one day, I was like, bro, let's make a country song. Let's just try it. So he started messing around on the guitar. And that night was actually whenever we started making Whiskey for the Wine. First country song, Whiskey for the Wine. And so it took like 13 sessions to finally get this song done because I was perfecting it.
Yeah.
I think it took me like 2 hours to record one line.
You're very detailed for a young guy. Detailed. Like you do your research, you know? I don't know how the grades were in school, but you learned how to research shit.
Yeah.
You learned how to look stuff up.
Grades in school were decent, but I didn't try.
Yeah, because you weren't passionate about it. Exactly. You're passionate about music and growing and building wealth for yourself and your homies around you, man. So of course it's gonna take a long session because you want that shit to be right.
Boy, exactly. It took me like 2 hours to record like one bar. One bar. I was like, what is it? Falling in and out of love. No, do it again. Falling in, like just one little thing in my voice. No, do it again.
Yeah.
Do it. Like I wanted that perfect. And so it took a while, finally recorded it. First video I posted about Whiskey for the One. Like 30 million views across all platforms. I was like, holy shit.
We come a long way from talking about gas prices.
Oh, God. Oh, you fucking.
That's crazy.
Nah, for real, though. Oh, God, we were talking about gas prices. Posting about Whiskey for the Wine and just, 30 million views immediately. Within a day or two. And it's like, people loved it. So. And I knew they loved it. Like I said, from the covers I've done, I did multiple Morgan Wallen covers before that.
Yeah.
Zach Bryan covers, all that. So I did it, and they loved it. Posted about it, and then from there, I've just been doing what I do now. Because what really makes me believe this is what I enjoy, like I love about this type of music.
Yeah.
Is it was after we made Whiskey for the Wine, I was in the studio with my producer. In the studio with Chosen, he was just playing the guitar, I was just humming, coming up with some melodies, whatever. And I was literally just like this, like just humming. And I just told him to stop playing guitar. And I was like, bro, this has to be for me. Because something about the way I feel right now, my head was clear. I wasn't comparing, like trying to make the next best cat freestyle. I wasn't trying to make the next best song. Like I was just feeling myself, able to tell a story. And I was like, bro, I think this shit's made for me.
Yeah.
And so from then, I just been writing my heart out, telling stories, and that's my favorite part. Like, I love songwriting because I love telling stories, but it can be a bitch sometimes, bro.
Oh, dude, I can only imagine, man. Like, it's got to be tough, and especially for you, it's like you, because a lot of your stuff, you've done solo, you know? So now it's like, as you level up, and this is big, again, bigger than country music. There's multiple, there's people that just write pop songs. There's people that help out lyricists on raps and rhymes and bars and stuff like that. So now you're having to collaborate, and that you have to make yourself vulnerable to the other guys or girls in the room.
Exactly.
And you're such a perfectionist. That's got to be tough to collaborate, because it probably took you a while to collaborate. Now you've got it with Chosen, you know, but what's it been like collaborating with other writers and other creatives, being as picky and as passionate as you are?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because yesterday we were in a meeting and we were talking about that, because like you said, yeah, all my songs up until like last year, I have done completely solo by myself. Every lyric is me. And so trying to get, like you said, used to being able to be vulnerable talking about this situation or that is definitely, because I'm not an open person anyway. Like, I'm open, but like as far as like how I feel inside, I'm not very open about that.
You have to keep some of yourself from what's projected on the internet. Exactly. People are seeing, they know Jay, they know you, but Jack and Jay, you got to keep some of yourself for yourself and for those that are close to you.
Exactly. You like that, buddy?
We're in the zone right now, Bodie.
Some of yourself for yourself is a hard.
But yeah, nah, for real. Because yeah, I've never been the type to talk about, damn, I feel like this right now. I've always been the type, oh, you feel bad, bro? Man, that's just your mind telling you that. Suck it up, buttercup. You know what I mean? So now having to be in the position I'm in, I'm like, okay, digging deep. Okay, this is genuinely how I feel. This is what I want to write a song about. It's definitely hard. And like you said, being the perfectionist and stuff. But what I've learned over the past year of creating music like this is I actually love working with people, because I can say how I feel. They can take a little spin on it lyrically and reality and put it together to create something awesome. Because everybody has a different perspective on a certain situation.
Yeah.
So I see it this way, but they see it like that. And that's what makes the great music, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude, it's people coming together, and collaboration is such a powerful thing.
That's why it's genuinely art, bro. Yeah. It's because everybody has a different ways of looking at it, and it just creates a masterpiece.
Yeah, who have been some of the co-writers that you've gotten to work with, or guys or girls that you really vibe with in the writing room?
So recently, every time I came out here recently, it's been with my boy Aaron Zuckerman and what's his name? Willie. I don't know his last name, but Willie. Willie, and just my big thing is energy. I don't care if you suck at songwriting, but if you just bring great energy and can come up with a bar every now and then, that's all I care about. I'm do everything based off of energy, because if you have good energy and you bring me good energy, I can write a whole song in an hour.
Yeah.
So that's what I care about. And something about Willie and Aaron and I together, it just is perfect.
What was that first time getting in the room with those guys?
Oh, amazing!
Like, what was the vibe? What was the vibe from the intro?
I knew. Right off the rip, walk in there. I've been cool with Aaron since the first time I came to Nashville. I did a session with him, and like just a cool, calm guy, chill, whatever, normal stuff. Yo, that my boy. Yo, that dog. Boom, we make a hit song. So then from there, it's just like, boy, we love each other. You know what I'm saying? Once you make a hit song with somebody, boy, it's automatic connection.
Yeah.
So we've been cool since, and more we see each other, it's obviously we grow that connection. But then he brought in Willie one day, and I walked in. He's like, yo, what up, dog? Immediate great energy. We start working. We get a few shots in, boy, and we make the song that I just dropped called Ain't Me.
Yeah.
But just that great energy, bro. Like, we were all laughing. In between bars, we were laughing. We were making great lyrics. I was telling him, like, yo, this is what I want to write about. This is how I feel. Willie's over there in the corner. Okay, this is how he feels. Just like a little computer. Like, his head is a computer. You tell him one thing, he spits out a lyric. You tell him this, he spits, like, he's a genius.
That's awesome.
And so it's just beautiful. Like, we make songs in like an hour, just because it's that energy. While I'm telling Willie how I feel, Aaron's working on the beat. By the time me and Willie are done creating lyrics, beat's done, I record. You know what I mean? So that's just how it works.
One-stop shop, man.
Boom. But I love working with other people, too. I love keeping the door open and just seeing, you know, everything. I love seeing everything. I'm the type that, you know, I just like to try out everything because it could be for me, it might not be for me, but there's only one way to find out.
Amen. Amen, brother. We're dropping all kinds of stuff. Bodie's sitting over there just in a trance. Talk about Ain't Me. And it seems like a lot of your songs like talk about like way out. Like there's a lot of you write about your journey. Mm-hmm. You put out songs about your life, and I think a lot of people resonate with what you've had to go through and resonate with the underdog thing. And you're such an inspiration for guys and girls out there that might have a disability, but also might just be in their head about shit. Mm-hmm. And like, what is it about writing about your life story and then specifically with a song like Ain't Me that really showcases that?
Yeah. So something that don't speak about too much is I have anxiety decently bad. And also I overthink, and I think that has come from, you know, the music and the social media.
Eyes are on you all the time, dog. You've put yourself in a position where unless you turn your phone off, you're not off. But even then, people know who you are.
So it's constantly. I can't go to bed with like a clear mind.
Yeah, it's tough.
So I'm mentally, you know, exhausted, overthinking this, that. Okay, I want to chill today, but I also am thinking about all the stuff I have to do tomorrow. So it's just a constant battle with myself, and I'm learning to deal with over time. But that's what Ain't Me, and like you mentioned earlier, Way Out is about. I love making music that seems like it's about one thing, but to me, I know what it's really about. So like Way Out, for example, seems like it's about a girl, but it's genuinely about my anxiety and losing the person I was to the person I am now with anxiety. That's what the song's really about. And then Ain't Me is that same kind of thing. You know what I mean? Nobody knows what I'm really dealing with. Although it's like, nobody knows what I'm really dealing with, because whenever you see him, whenever it's business, whenever it's whatever, I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm going to be lit. I'm going to act like everything is okay. But whenever I'm sitting at home by myself, you know, I might cry every now and then. I might be overthinking. I might all this and all that. But nobody knows that, because who they love ain't me. Yeah. They see, I'm not lying whenever I'm on here smiling. I'm genuinely enjoying it. But whenever I have time to myself and I start overthinking, you know, it gets the best of me sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's what I wrote the song about, because who they love ain't the person they always see.
That's real, man. That's real. Mm-hmm. That's very, very, very real, man. How do you balance the having that many followers? I mean, like over like almost 2 million now on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's it like knowing that that many people, you post a video and you make that account, and again, we go back to, you're talking about how to save money on gasoline, on diesel, all that, to now, there are more people watching you than you could even imagine, you know, like, all the time. Like, what's it like having a following and having, I know you're an artist, you're a music guy, but the influencer, the social media personality is a huge part of it. And I feel like to be successful in this music game, you have to understand and learn how to do that nowadays.
Honestly, I don't think I'll ever find the balance. I hope to, and that's what I strive for, but it's just something that over time is, I'm learning. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be at a point where I can't even relax, because I see relaxing as laziness. So I'm always about productivity and all this and all that. So that's where it's messed up my mental in that aspect. I've been trying to learn when to chill, when to shut the mind off. But that's what really is hard about this kind of industry and that. And also the fact that I feel like I take for granted what I have sometimes, because it's like I'm so caught up in the mix of everything, I forget what it really looks like or what it really is. You know what I mean? I'm so caught up, I don't see what it really is. I have, like you said, 3 million overall followers, people looking at me, yo, I love this guy, you've changed my life, this and all that. And because what I'm going through in my own head, I just look past the fact sometimes of what it is. I'm inspiring people. These people love me. And I just forget that sometimes. And I feel like that's something I'm trying to learn too, as well as be grateful. And I'm grateful to a certain extent, but like I said, I forget sometimes and I get caught up in the mix.
Yeah, dude.
And it's like, whenever I have a bad day, I need to really think, like, bro, I have 3 million people who love me for what I do. And, like, that's, like, amazing.
Yeah. Is there a moment or, like, a comment or a DM or a fan interaction that you've had that really stands out?
Yeah, I had this guy the other day. I was getting my car fixed. Something was wrong with it at the dealership, and this guy came up to me. He's like, "Yo, you're that guy on TikTok." Kind of a little. He was a little awkward, and he's like, "You're that guy on TikTok, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, bro, what up, dog?" Give him a little handshake, whatever. And he's like, "Man, like, you're really inspiring me. I was born, I can't remember the condition, but something along the lines, like, he bleeds easily, but if he bleeds, like, it could be super severe and he might have to go to the hospital," something like that. Like, it was wild. And he's like, "Man, you just inspired me because you showed me, like, I need to look past that and just and do what I want to do." You know what I mean? He's like, "Through all your disabilities and all that, you just strive for what you wanted." So he's like, "It gave me the motivation to go wrestle." You know what I mean? The odds of bleeding or something happening while you're wrestling is high.
Yeah.
But he's like, "I've learned through you that, fuck it. Now I'm just going to do it." So he says, I gave him the inspiration. Besides what he has going on in his condition, he's going to go wrestle. And I was like, that's beautiful. Like, really, it made me sit there. And those are the moments I'm like, those are the moments that I'm like grateful.
Yeah.
Those are the moments that I really realize the position I'm in.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to keep growing. And that's really what makes me want to strive every day for what I want to be, is knowing that I inspire this many people where I'm at now through, like you said, the adversity or whatever. I want to be the biggest so that everybody who watches, whatever thing you have going on, fucking problem that guy has, my problems, whatever it is, that, you know, you can still chase what you want.
Yeah.
And you can still get what you want in life, regardless of anything. You just have something, you just have this hurdle you need to jump over so you can see the grass is greener on the other side sometimes. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
All the time, depending on how you look at it, depending on your perspective. You got to change your perspective to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, make as big of an impact as you can. You
exactly.
Know?
So that's really what I'm...
You okay?
That's really what I learned, though, is just change my perspective on it.
And, yeah.
What I'm trying to do and be grateful for what I have and what I don't have.
Yeah. How's the state of life of how things are going lately? You seem to be in a very good spot of you're taking care of yourself. You got your buddy out here with you. Like things seem to be going well. How's the personal life of our man, little man Jay, right now? What era are we in?
It's honestly getting better by the day. Honestly, you know, I had to detach myself from things that were holding me back, and I realized like I need to focus on what I really want to do at the end of the day and not be held back by anything. So now I'm all into what I'm doing. I'm really understanding it. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying time with the people who really matter, my family, my friends, all that, and just try and growing a new perspective.
Yeah.
Instead of the perspective of, man, this lifestyle is slowly draining me and hurting my head and making me lose sleep and making me this, making me that, to a perspective of, bro, I'm changing people's lives. I'm gonna get to the top one day. My family, like everybody, like these people love me. I'm all that.
Yeah.
Changing my perspective instead of just being not negative, but just self-deceiving.
Yeah.
To motivational and understanding what it really is compared to what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's awesome. What does little man Jay like doing when he's not doing music stuff? I know you say that this life consumes a lot of you, but mm-hmm. what do you like doing when you're in a sense off the clock?
I love hanging out with my family. I love just being cool with the friends, a little late night. I even like some of the things I implement that are my music into my personal life. Like I love just sitting down, playing guitar, singing songs that I love with the guys, whatever, this and that. I love working out.
Yeah, I see that. You're getting all swole on us, man.
Working out, I love that release. I recently got into boxing.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's amazing. I love for the fact of learning how to defend myself if the time's necessary, but also just the release and the cardio and the energy it takes. I love that as well, just being able to punch the punching bag. Like I said, it's just a release. It's better than anything that I've experienced, you know what I mean, or any of the short dopamine spikes. Like, it's just full aggression, full let that shit out, you know what I'm saying? Be a monster, you know what I mean? It turns me into a monster, boy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's beautiful. So those are the things I've been doing recently, and, you know, trying to understand, like I said, if I want to relax. I've gotten into watching movies recently.
Oh, what have been some of our favorites? What have you been watching lately?
Yesterday we watched Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, you just saw that, dude?
That was my first time watching that movie, bro. Because I think I was like 13 and the opening shot was like titties or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I don't know how my mom would feel about this. I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
That's a great movie, man. Yeah. And it's, and the fact that it has that true story element to it, and it's funny, I've got a lot of buddies that work, because being from New York, I got buddies that work in that Wall Street life. Yeah. And obviously it's different now than it was back then. Not as many Quaaludes out there, but that's a good one, dog. That's a good one. And movies are something you can watch when you're on the road. If, because you got Boda doing the driving, you can, movies are a great way to pass the time.
Yeah, no, 100%. So it's just a journey, and trying to find that balance between life and business.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it is a balance. What kind of food do you like eating? We didn't talk about food last time we
hung out. Food, like, I eat anything, but my favorite go-to has recently been ribs and steak.
Spoken like a true Carolina boy. Spoken like a true-ass Carolina hick. Boy, oh God, give me the ribs.
Get my hands dirty.
Give me the steak.
So, yeah, boy, I love just steak and ribs.
What are the fixings that you're getting with it? Because that's the thing. You can't go wrong with one of the headliners, if you will, at the barbecue or at the meet and three. But the fixings is where you could fuck it all up.
Nah, I go the mac and cheese route, the green beans, the asparagus, some French fries. Those are like my kind of go to.
Okay. See, yeah. I've been in the grits recently because I didn't have them growing up. We don't do grits up north.
New York.
So I've started.
Sweet tea either.
No, I mean, we do, what they'll do, if you ask for a sweet tea at a restaurant in New York, and Bodie knows this, they'll give you like sweet and low or sugar packets to make it. I drink a lot of unsweet tea, actually. I'm an unsweet tea guy. I know. I sound like a damn communist over here.
You the Boston Tea Party all over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the hot tea. I drink like the unsweetened iced tea. That's like my thing. Because I'm a big caffeine guy. Like, yeah. I just go. I'm a big stimulants guy, all the legal ones, you know, like the damn nicotine and the caffeine and all that stuff.
100%. I shave myself away from caffeine, but, you know, a little nicotine, whatever, every now and then.
Yeah, know. I know we're in the body is the temple era, so we're watching. We're not out here eating like gangbangers, fast food all the time. But Carolinas, you are home to two of what I think are, because, again, growing up north, we didn't have a lot of fast food. You have, like, Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, KFC, McDonald's. That's really it. We don't have a lot of fat. We're more like mom and pop, family restaurants, diners, all that.
Yeah.
If you had to pick between Bojangles and Cookout.
Bojangles.
Picking Bojangles over Cookout.
All day. Cookout is just not, like, I eat it if necessary, but it's just not, like, not for me. Compared to Bojangles, especially.
Why does Bojangles stand out?
Bruh, just...
I mean, I know it's always bow time,
The way they fry it, what do you call it? The outside? The crispiness, I guess, all that. On top of the chicken is always juicy. And then just all the sides, the seasoning they put, everything is just...
The biscuits.
Yeah, bro. Like, even the biscuits, bro. I just be eating them shit straight off rip. Bojangles is way better than Cookout. You can't even compare it.
Because those, to me, are like the two Carolina chains that you guys are known for. And I don't know if there's anything else. Like, I know you guys are known for barbecue. You get seafood along the coast. Yeah. What else do you guys have? You don't seem like a huge foodie.
Yeah, nah. I'm not, like, I just eat food because I need to eat food.
What's the Mexican restaurant order? That's a big Southern thing, too. You guys love your fucking Mexican food here. I was blown away by how many damn Mexican restaurants are down here.
Boy, crazy. We actually had that yesterday. I had carne asada.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was amazing. I love a good little Mexican food. I'm not a big fan of, like, the tacos, like Mexican tacos, but all the, like, I love the rice and the beans. I love the all that kind of stuff.
There's just something about sitting at a table with family or homies, and instead of breaking bread, you're breaking chips and dipping them in salsa. Like the Southern breaking bread. It's like you go to Cracker Barrel, break the biscuits or whatever, but there's something special about putting that chip in that complimentary salsa. There's something special about chips and salsa with the family.
Nah, for real.
What is the family like? I mean, you talk about how supportive they are and how much they've been behind you in this dream and through everything and all of that. Talk about the fam for a little bit and shout them out a little bit about who you got in your corner back home.
Yeah, my mom, dad, brother, and sister, I'm biggest fans. 100%. Everything I do, they support it. Like I said, my parents for Christmas got me studio equipment to be able to work on music. They actually gave me a $1,000 loan because it was $3,000 for the Cat Freestyle beat, and they gave me $1,000 loan to help me pay for that. And everything that if I need it, they understand it because my dad is an entrepreneur himself, and so he understands the vision. So they were very supportive from the beginning, and now my dad every day is sending me something along the lines of the music. You should work with this guy. This guy said this in the comments. Did you see this?
So they're in it.
They're in it, and they love it, and they're very proud. Every time they're talking with somebody new, somehow my name is brought up. You know what I mean? So it's beautiful. My brother, every time I see him, he's just telling me how proud he is of me, and it's crazy how much I've accomplished. And my sister. My sister's one of them ones. They all keep me humble, but my sister's one of them ones that just keep it straight. Like, who the fuck you think you are? you're Jack around here.
And then are you the oldest, the youngest, middle?
I'm the middle child.
So who's older?
My brother, and my sister's younger.
Yeah, younger sister.
Oh yeah.
Always keep me humble. That's how my little sister is too.
Boy, I can't lie. I that's why I love going back to the family, because I feel like myself. I feel like myself all the time, but you know what I mean? That, come on. You ain't a little man Jay around here, boy.
You're Jack.
Keep it straight.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. So you're out here. You're going to be recording on this trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yesterday and today, I've been kind of just, more of the business side as far as interviews and meetings.
Well, I'm happy that we're considered on the business side. But this is more of a hang than anything.
At this point, we friends, boy. That's why I like this environment. It's just I feel like friends. I feel like I'm just talking to you straight up. So, yeah, that's what we have going on today. And yesterday we're filming some content tonight on Broadway.
Ooh.
And then the rest of the week is a few meetings, but mostly sessions throughout the day from anywhere from 11 to 8 p.m. at nighttime. So that's what the rest of the week looks like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
That's awesome, man.
And then Sunday is whenever we head back.
What kind of content are you looking to capture on Broadway?
I'll probably do some interviews. Ask some people my go-to, listen to my music. If you don't like it, I'll give you this. If you do like it, I'll give you this. And then just visualizers, showing a nice little scenery while I'm singing my song to the camera. So we have a few different things planned, and we live.
Yeah, what is the process of getting the content? Because you do a great job. I saw the video of... how you've released a song for $0 and then you've released songs for $10,000. Like the difference of that, you do such a good job of kind of pulling back the curtain and showing people what goes into the music, but you also keep it light and while also keeping it real, where you're putting a smile on people's face. You're doing some silly stuff sometimes, but the way that you market the songs, you seem like you have it down to a T. What's the process of doing all that? How much goes into the planning of your content?
Yeah, it's an overtime thing, and now I have the help with my videographer, so we're able to come together with ideas and things. But at this point, I kind of have it dialed down with what the people like, what they don't like, what I don't like. And so it's just kind of okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out film here today to get this content. And sometimes I like looking on social media, seeing what other people have done and kind of making my own little spin off from it.
You got to see what the algorithm's doing.
Exactly. So a mix of everything, but still keeping it authentic to me. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what people really enjoy is I'm not trying to make it seem like this or make it seem like that. I'm just... being me, if I find it funny, I do it. I don't give a fuck.
Amen. Amen, dude.
Exactly. So I just do me, put my energy out there, and I think that's what people have fell in love with, which is beautiful, and it makes me feel feel good.
That's awesome, dude. Now talk about this new song we got coming out in April.
So I'm super excited about this one. I'm dropping a song. I'm pretty sure right now we're dropping it April 11th. It's called Cul-de-Sac Kids. And it's just a great song, a high energy, upbeat. I made this with Chosen. But my favorite part about it is the second verse is actually rap.
Oh, so you get to cross your two styles together.
So it's like a rap country kind of song.
Is this your first time doing that? Like in a release, or do you have some other ones?
Yeah, no, this is my first time.
Surprised it's taking you this long to do that, because I feel like that's that's a lane that you could have gone down, but I like that you do both, and then you have the option to bridge them if you want to.
Exactly. I feel like that's where I was listening too much to other people, and I didn't want to do what I wanted to do. So with this song, just completely being myself, we have the 808s, we have the drums on the second verse, and I just come in rapping. I'm like, what did he say? He talking about Spurs on the demons. John Deere got a flat tire, so he cutting up in the demon. It's a rooftop tight weekend, Jack and Tequila deep end. Seen a white girl, hit a white girl, got a sneeze, and if you ain't leaving, you know what I mean? So I come in
that's awesome.
I come in with the rap on it, and that's why I'm super excited, because I have a lot of people in my comments who miss the rap. And so I'm like, okay, what way can I implement it? Because I love both of them. And so that's like some of the top comments. So I'm like, let's implement it. You know, I'm big on giving the fans what they want at the end of the day. You know,
yeah, dude. And now is the perfect time with where the styles, where music in a way is kind of genreless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you can listen and like anything, and anything kind of goes. Where if there's a time for a guy like yourself to come up, that's a multi-tool when it comes to genres. Now seems like that perfect time where you can. It's mass appeal stretches across genres, dude. Mm-hmm. You can be Lil Man J, where you can go back and listen to Cap Freestyle, or you can listen to Way Out, or you can listen to whatever, and you're going to get multiple sides of the coin. How do you feel about all that, the way that music is kind of going right now?
I mean, I love it. I love it, and that's what I don't think people have a hard time understanding, is I'm not trying to follow trends. I'm not trying to do this. I'm just doing what I love.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it, what I love, how I want to do it, and how I like it. You know what I mean? If I walk in the studio today and somebody happens to be playing a rap song, I might get the urge to make a rap song. You know what I mean? So, like, at the end of the day, I just make what I want to create.
Yeah.
And that's how I move at the end of the day. If I like it, I release it. If I don't like it,
When it comes to the rap stuff, is it like very much like off the dome? Is it you're hearing a beat? Are you jotting down kind of like slick lines ahead of time?
All right. Sometimes there was a time period where, you know, I would punch in. I'd just rap on the mic. Okay, cool. I like that bar. Keep that. Next one. Boom. Keep that bar. But I've gotten to the point now where I'm changed that, because I want to tell a story instead of just rapping about what everybody raps about. I want to start telling stories with my music, regardless of the genre.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at with it now. So I love writing, coming up with these creative bars for whether it's rap, R&B, country, whatever. It's just, I love the storytelling aspect of it.
Do you think you could take one of your rap songs and make it a country song? And do you think you could take one of your country songs and make it a rap song? Like, what would Way Out be like as a rap song? What would the Cap Freestyle be like as a twanger, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, isn't that crazy? But in a way, funny. I'm sure if you took the time, you could make that, like
100%, because, I mean, like, Morgan Wallen, some of his, and a lot of people, some of the ways they sing could easily become rap. Like, who was it the other day? I can't remember, but like some of the melodies are like rap melodies with the triple rhymes and then the different rhymes.
Yeah,
like all of it's the same kind of thing, whether it's AABB rhyme scheme, AAAAA rhyme scheme, like all of it's rhyme scheme. It just depends on how you say it, how you sing it, how you do it. So I could easily create Cap Freestyle to be a country song, or I could easily create Way Out to be a rap song, and just got to find the right way to do it.
Yeah. That's cool, though, that you can do that, man. We talk about it. You're a popular man today. Bodie got the phone. That was a quick little shovel pass right there. I'm blowing you up, little man, Jay. Oh, man. Wild out here. Dude, we talk about how, like, we're called we're called Raised Rowdy, and we love going to shows and all of that. Do you remember your first concert?
Yes.
Who was it?
It was a place called July Festival, and I performed with a few rap artists, Fredo.
Well, I'm not even talking about just you performing. I'm talking about you going to a concert as a friend. Or as a fan, not a friend. We're friends, but as a fan.
The first concert I went to actually was Post Malone.
Oh, no shit.
And it was literally in October of last year. That's the first ever concert I've been
really? To. So you've been doing music without having gone to a concert?
Never. It's never been my cup of tea. I don't know why. And I liked it, but it's never been like, yo, bro, let's go to this concert.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know what about it, but I liked it. I would do it again, but it's not like I would love to go to this concert.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And then what's a rowdy moment from growing up?
Like, rowdy moment?
you and the boys, it could even be you and Bodie on the road.
Boy, like. Oh God, I don't even remember no rowdy moments, bro. I just remember a whole lot of times drinking gallons of Fireball, getting fucked up and throwing up with the boys, man. That's all I can think about off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's wild. Who are some of the boys, like, how are you still close with a lot of your friends back home and still keep up with everybody?
Like I said earlier, I didn't have like a lot of like friends I consider true friends, people I'll be with every now and then. But there is a few people that came from my job that I used to work at Auto Bell. My boy AJ, my boy Amin, obviously Bodie, all those kind of people that I really keep. People who want something for themselves is really what I'm focused on. If they're caught up in this lifestyle, this college lifestyle, you know, I keep them at a distance. But, you know, they're chasing their goals and they want something in life, and I see it. And we can help each other chase what we're trying to get after. Keep them, I love motivating each other and hanging out and doing all that. Like, my brother and my cousin are the people that I love hanging out with back at home. And we just share a lot of information together, and it's like therapeutic.
Yeah, dude, so much of success is surrounding yourself with the people that are going to help breathe that energy
out
there.
You are who you hang around, bro. Yeah, you become dude. Who you hang around. You went with a bunch of millionaires and you broke as fuck, you're going to become a millionaire eventually.
Yeah.
But if you a millionaire right now and you hang around a bunch of brokies, you're going to be a fucked up man soon.
Yeah, dude. And that's, again, that's why I love getting to hang with you when you're out here in town. Tell us one more time the name of the song that's coming out.
It's called Cul-de-Sac Kids.
Cul-de-Sac Kids, coming out April 11th, that week, somewhere in there, I believe. April 11th, April 12th. April 11th, actually, that'll be cool. We'll be bumping that. I'll be down at the Georgia Rodeo that weekend.
Oh, really?
We'll be at Raised Rowdy. We'll be at the Georgia Rodeo and the Auburn Rodeo that weekend.
Oh,
so
shit.
We'll be listening to that new music Friday down there. And deep in the heart of Dixie in Georgia and Alabama. But, well, man, Jay, I appreciate you coming on, bro. Brother. Hanging, you look good. It seems like life is going, man. Just hold on tight, because that rocket ship's just going up, up,
going
up and away,
man.
Boy,
for
it's
real.
Wild, man. But
yeah, I really appreciate,
where can people
you,
go
man.
To find you if they're not one of the almost 500,000 people on Instagram or 2 million people on TikTok that aren't,
man,
following you already? Where can they find you?
Real Little Man J, REALLILMANJ, on all platforms, or just Little Man J.
Yeah, don't be fucking with those fake accounts. Because if he's got the word real in there, that means there's some fake ones out there.
That's the real one, boy.
Yes, that's the real one. And y'all be sure to check out Cul-de-Sac Kids and check out all the other great songs that he has out there. And be on the lookout here in Nashville. Jay's getting out here a lot more now, so be sure to hit him up and hang, man. Oh, you might see him out there. We're gonna get him on a Raised Rowdy Round or a Wednesday night soon. We're working on that. We'll talk with Bodie and Jay after this and figure out a date. You guys can come and watch him do his thing at the Duck Blind. But y'all be sure to check out our boy, Little Man Jay. For more on us, you can visit RaisedRowdy.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside, Vodka Lemonade, Vodka Iced Tea, No Bubbles, No Troubles, Sunshine in a Can. We love our friends at Surfside. And like I said, for more on us, you can visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my man Jay, I'm Matt Barill. This has been Outside the Round.
Yes, sir.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know.